you have your Bible, would you turn to the First Kings, chapter number 1. I like had a heart attack last night when Brother Jim got up here and said, if you have your Bible, turn to the First Kings, but he said chapter number 10. And I'm not going to preach his message. He did that last night eloquently. But here's a man that I'm going to say some things about. And in studying, I started studying the life of this man named David. And as far as the Jews are concerned, he's still the greatest king that Israel's ever had. And I got to reading and studying about his life, and I found some things about David that I didn't particularly like. And I'm sure that if David could analyze my life, there's some things that he wouldn't like in my life. But what really got me was I saw some things in David's life that I'm not guilty of. But I'm guilty of some things that David's not guilty of. And David here in Kings chapter number 1, David is fixing to die. He's getting old. Matter of fact, I'm older than he was here, from what they say. And David had caused a lot of his own problems himself. A lot of your problems are caused by you. A lot of my problems are caused by me. And we want things like we want things, but here in chapter number 1, verse 1, it says, Now King David was old and stricken in the years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. In other words, he couldn't get warmed up. And I won't go into that, but anyway, on down in chapter number 1, verse number 6, you find it says, then here's another one of the problems with David. David had, as far as I know, over in First Chronicles, I believe it is, chapter number 3, there's a genealogy of David. In Hebron, he had five or six wives. And on down a little bit further, he met a woman named Bathsheba. And he had four sons by Bathsheba. And then he went back into Jerusalem, if I remember right, and he had nine more sons. And if my math is right, he had about 19 different sons by all these different women. And don't misunderstand me now. David's still one of the greatest men that is in the Word of God. Now, I'm not pointing this out to put David down. I want you to believe that. I don't, because we're all guilty. We want people to think that we're real eloquent. But the only thing that we can really say is we're guilty of some things that David's not guilty of. I know I'm guilty of them. I get to read and study the Word of God, and I find some things in there. I want to put it up. Because it's conviction there. And I want to try to bring you a message tonight on riding the king's mule. And I know some folks probably don't like like that. I used to play music when I was a boy. And I got to reading and studying about David, and as I said a moment ago, David's guilty of a whole lot of things that I'm not guilty of, but I'm guilty of a whole lot of things that David's not guilty of. And you know, if we talk about revival, and we talk about this, and we talk about that, and we find some things, you see, that we'd love to do, but we don't want to do it the way that God wants to do it. And if we don't do it according to the book, it's going to come to naught. But here's a man named Adonijah. If you pronounce that a different way, have at it. But it says in verse number 5, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. I'm having a problem with my eyes, folks. You'll have to be patient with me. And anyway, it says here, envying, I will be king. And see, this man here, Adonijah, was wanting to be king. And see, we want to be something that sometimes it's not God's will for us to be what God wants us to be, you see. And so, as you get older, you see, you'll see some things in the past that you wish you could have done or you did do, but then you find out, well, I can't do those things, and your life's gone. Here's a man, he's laying on the bed, he's old, and here's a man, his son, one of his sons, named Adonijah, he wanted to be the king, you see. He wanted to ride the king's mule, and you see, you cannot afford to ride the king's mule if the king don't give you permission to ride that mule. That's a death sentence. They'll kill you for that back in those days. See, David was the man that brought the mules over and introduced them to this man, to these people of Israel, the Israelites. And it says here, he will be king and he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. He got him a group together, you see. And that's what's happening to a lot of our Baptist churches today. You see, we got some that have a problem, and rather than try to salute the problem, try to take care of the problem, they'll go somewhere else and get them a group. And because they want to do what they want to do rather than what God wants to do. Now, David, I said all that to say this. David, you see, don't want this man, his son, to be the king. He don't want him to ride his mule. And he's going to, if you look on over this a little bit further, you'll find over there in chapter number 1, verse number 15, it says, and Bathsheba went in unto the king, unto the chamber, and the king was very old. I can relate to that. And Abishag, the Shunammite, mustered up to the king, and Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king, and the king said, what wouldest thou? Here it is, now listen. And she said unto the king, unto him, my lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son will reign before me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And it goes on, and now behold, Adonijah reigneth, and now my Lord, the king, knoweth it not. And it goes on down, and three different times God has something to say about riding the king's mule. And there's something about this riding the king's mule. There's a lot of people that don't understand the riding of a mule. You see, there was a great horseman. There was a great horse, Seabiscuit. They claim that he was the fastest horse that there ever was. But he had a brother that could outrun Seabiscuit. And they wouldn't let him run, you see. And the reason they wouldn't let him run was simply because he was a mule. And you see, some of us mixed breeds, you see, people don't want a whole lot to do. See, I'm having a problem seeing these things up here, or seeing these words, because of the lighting. I mean, it's no problem here. Good lighting here. But I mean, I've got a Bible here. I've bought me up a giant print Bible, and I still can't see like I ought to. But there's something that I can do, you see. I can ride the mule. You see, every time that God's got something that he wants you to do, he'll have a mule there for you to ride. And you see, some of y'all were, you know, I could feel it a while ago while I was blundering through these words, you see, and some of you were very sympathetic. I could feel that, you see, and I appreciate that, but I know that I'm getting old. I know that I'm not getting old. I'm already old. But it's nothing I can do about that. Should I sit down in the rocking chair and not do nothing? No. Huh. And see, here's a man that three different times, he has three different periods. He has a future period, he has a present period, and he has a past period. And these are what he wants done, you see. He died. And he walks, and his wife went in to talk to him. Nathan the prophet went in to talk to him. And then all these people, I mean, they gathered around him, gathered around his bed. And what did he say? He said, "Call Solomon to ride my mule." Now, I'm going to tell you something about this man Solomon. You see, our problem today is educated people, highly educated people, people of I mean, extremely well. I mean, people, you know, they do some dumb things. Hello? I've done some dumb things. David's done some dumb things. David's wife done some dumb things. Adonijah done some dumb things, you see. And you know what? We're going to do some dumb things. We're waiting on the Lord to come, we say. But really and truly, deep down in your heart, you really don't want the Lord to come, you see. You've got some more things, you see. But God's got a mule, and he wants us to ride, you see, if we'll pay attention to him. But see, sometimes we won't pay attention to what God's got to say if it's something just real simple, you see, like go ride the mule. Now, me and some of my cohorts years ago, we used to go down to a place we called Tarzan's Woods. It was some weeping willows down there, and this man that had this pasture, while we used to chase these mules down under those weeping willow trees, and we'd jump out. And we thought we was cowboys, you see. We thought we was cowboys in the movies, you see. And we'd jump out and try to jump on them mules, you see, to ride them mules. We thought that was something. Well, I got to reading and studying the Word of God over here, and I said, "My soul above. Isn't it something at what God's got?" Now, let me just give you this as I can, three different times now. If you look down in chapter number 1, and you'll look over there just a little bit to chapter number 33, "The king also said unto them, I take with you the servants of your Lord, and call Solomon, my son, to ride to ride upon mine own mule. Now, if anybody else had done that, he'd have killed him. He'd have had him killed. You see, but anyway, he goes on saying, bring him down to Gihon. Now, if I could get you to Gihon tonight, I mean, boy, we'll have a camp meeting. It'll be noise all around here. Gihon is a body of water that's affiliated with the Nile River, and the Nile River was one of the people. It was one of the things that Egyptians worshipped. You see, it was one of their gods. You see, but that's not what David's after right here. He wants his son now, but one of his sons. You see, and here's a man that they claim to be the smartest man that there's ever been. And did you know he had 700 wives and 300 concubines? And then I read on a little bit further, and he had 1,000 more women, concubines, that were used for one thing or another, you see. Now, I mean, this is a man named Solomon. This is supposed to be the smartest man that you've ever seen. And see, we can't get our Baptist people motivated to where they'll even attempt to ride a mule. They don't want that. I'm too eloquent. That's just not for me. I'm not gonna get up and ride a mule. If God ought at least let me ride a thoroughbred. Maybe God don't want you riding a thoroughbred. See, God knows some things about you that don't nobody else know. Hello? Now, God knows some things about me that don't nobody else know. You say, what are they? Ain't none of your business. And I'm so smart. There's some things about you that don't nobody want you to know. You know what I run up on? Every time that you run up on a hard place in life, every time that David run up on a hard place in life, every time God had a mule there for him to climb, for him to ride. And you see, can outrun a horse. Hello? Can outrun a horse in rough terrain. And see, I'm going to tell you what, folks. I don't know about y'all, but I need a mule. I do. I need a mule. And I'm going to say some more things right in a minute. But anyway, right here, this is the first one. This is here where it says that he bring him down to Gihon. And then on down a little bit further, you'll find over here in verse number 38. So Zadok, the priest, and then the prophet, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethite. Now the Cherethite and the Pelethite were David's elite fighting people, his special forces. And it says he wanted them to go down there with him. Went down and called Solomon to ride ride upon King David's mule, and brought him to Gihon. There it is again. And see, that's the second place there. See, this is this over here. The first one was in chapter number 33. It's a future state. Here in this one, this is a present state. And then on down just a little bit further, we see in chapter number 1, verse number 34, and the king hath sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethite and the Pelethite, and they called him to ride upon the king's mule. Now, I know I'm getting around here somewhat, and I'm stumbling somewhat. But I'm doing the best I can, you see, with what I've got to work with, you see. And see, you can understand, I'm really in need of a mule. I'm having a hard place, you see. Why? Well, I'm like David. I'm not in the bed. I'm not in, he was in the bed, you see. I'm not in the bed. I ain't got to the bed yet. Now, I can rock in the rocking chair, and I can do some of, but I can't do some of the things that I used to do. But God's got something he wants me to do. And I'm going to do it as long as I can draw breath. There's just a few things I know. One thing I know God called me to preach. And I'm going to preach as long as I can draw breath, you see. And we see here that this man riding the mule, you see, there's some things about a mule, you see. And a mule is more sturdy than a horse is, but in rough terrain. He can carry a heavier load than a horse can. Now, I know horsemen don't like it. They don't like this information, but I don't care whether you like it or not. It's still what the Word of God teaches us. And then number two, we find that a mule is swifter on rough terrain. I mentioned that a while ago. But see, it's good to be old because you get to repeat yourself. And see, you can stumble, you see. You know what? You're real sympathetic. God bless that old man. Would you please help him? I mean, some of you have been praying for me, and I want you to pray for me. Yeah, I mean, I'm not no spring chicken, but I tell you what, I didn't get here on a load of pumpkins now. But we see that there's some things about these mules, you see, that people don't know, and you need to know. You see, a mule is more sure-footed. And he'll follow the guide better. And see, our problem today, you see, you can go into Abbott's Baptist Church, and you can't find out what them people really believe, you see, that call themselves Baptists, you see. See, when you tell somebody, used to years ago, when you told somebody that you was a Baptist, that meant you believe what that book says right there. But they didn't like that no more. Now, you see, it'll take you an hour or two to explain to them what kind of Baptist you are, whether you're pre, post, pan, or off. You say, well, what's all that? Well, pre means before, post means after. Now. Ah, that means everything all going to be all right in the end. We're fixing to go out of here. Hey, amen to God. And I'm glad to, I'll be honest with you. I wish the Lord would come tonight. I ain't got to go back by the house and pick up a thing, you say. But until then, you see, I've got to ride on these hard spots that I get on. I've got to get on that mule and ride that mule that the Lord wants me to ride. And see, you might not want to ride a mule, but see, I will. Why? Well, the Lord said for me to ride that mule. See, that helps me, you see. I mean, it's helping me. I'm struggling, you see. But God's teaching me something. Even at my age, you see, I'm being taught some things. God is showing me some things, even in my own life, you see. We all, you see, the average Baptist has never read the Word of God. I'll go a step further than that. The average Baptist preacher has never read the Word of God. In its entirety, you see, could have gone a step further than that. The average Baptist has never studied the Word of God. There's a difference in reading the Bible and studying the Bible. I didn't get in it yesterday, you see. I don't claim to know everything, but I've read the book, you see. I know what happened. It's in Genesis. It saw in the beginning, and it started with the beginning, and it wound up with amen in the book of Revelation. And I believe everything that there is in between also, you see. I don't have no problem with, but here's a man right here. One of the smartest men that there's ever been, called Noah. Not Noah. That's that fellow over there that built up. But it's called this man, what was his name?
Solomon.
Huh?
Solomon.
What was it?
Solomon.
Solomon, yeah, Solomon. See, I had a senior moment. How many of you know what senior moments are? What a senior moment. That's when you know you got something and you can't get it to come out right. It's there. Me and my wife, you know, we laugh at one another now. And see, I laugh at her and she laughs at me. You know why? Well, she has these senior moments too. And what's really getting me is when I go from one room to the other and I get in that other room, and when I get in there, I say, now what did I come in here for? And some of y'all don't know anything about this yet, you see, but you're going to. See, you're younger people, and some of you younger people, there's going to be some rough places up the road, you see. And when you get up to that rough place up the road, you see, you know, you're going to say, God's going to remind you, that old preacher tried to tell you something, you see. He pointed to you and told you that you needed to study the Word of God. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God's the one that's a partner to His Word. If everything is all about His Word, you see, and God's got something He wants us to know, He'll tell us, you see, right here in this book. And we got some people today that don't like this book, especially these old King James books. Yeah, I mean, you know, you go in some of these churches today and they got these offshoots, you know, they're not King James. You can open some of the song books. Open some of the song books, and when you open it, you see it don't say it's not King James. It's King James plus something or King James minus something. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello? And see, that's the problems that we've got with our Baptist churches today. See, in the county where I come from, I was born and raised in Rockingham County. Years ago, when I pastored up there in that church, I mean in that county, I counted 150 independent, premillennial, fundamental, none of the above Baptists in that county. That's been 15 or 20 years ago. And see, now some of them split so many times that they're not even a split no more. They're not even a good splinter. And see, the problem, you see, is God's getting them ready to ride the mule. And you see, some of y'all, it just made goosebumps go all over me to think that I've got to get up on that old animal and run on a mule. No, you ain't got to do that. The mule's going to do the running for you. God is the one that he's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to direct you, you see. But the Lord knows what He's doing. Anyway, it says, it goes on. I said it where he was simple. He's simple and looks like he'd been made out of spare parts. And see, that's how some folk look at me. I mean, you know, because I look like I've been made out of spare parts. And if the truth's known, I have been. I mean, they've been sticking needles in my eye for the last 4 years to try to keep me from going blind. But you know what? God had a mule right there for me to ride. Yeah! God knows what He's doing, you see. I'm not in the rocking chair yet. I have a problem going to the mailbox. I can go to the mailbox, but I have a problem trying to get back. I start going numb, you see. I mean, all kind of problems. I mean, David went through this. But God had a mule for him to ride. And see, God's got a mule for me to ride. God's got a mule for you to ride. God knows what you're going through with. Now, you might be here. You might be lost. God loves you. Christ died for you. And God will save you here tonight, you see. That's what this camp meeting's all about. It's not to get up there and look at that poor man up there struggling and trying to preach and can't preach. Oh, wait a minute now. That's a horse of a different color. Yeah. I could tell you some things, but I don't want to be braggadocious. You didn't know that could come out of me, did you? You'd be surprised. What is that, you know, where it says it? To demonstrate the homiletical aptitude I've accumulated while in the curriculum of a learned institute. Do you realize what that come out of me? And you know what? Bill Canoa asked me to come over and preach in his Bible school years ago. And I did, after he asked me the second time. And I was terrified. He asked me to come over to that school and get up there before them preach. And so I got up and preached, and I saw all them words, you know. There's a lot of people like them good old big words, you know. And I got up there and I said, I come to demonstrate the homiletical aptitude I accumulated while participating in the curriculum of a learning institute. And in short, I said, I come to preach. And some of them eyeballs got about that big, and they wondered, well, Lord, did you hear what come out of that man? Yeah, I mean, here I am. I'm almost 80 years old. So, I mean, after I get 80, I'm going to try to make it to 90. Yeah. I'm not in the rocking chair yet. No, but I have already rode some of the mules that God had prepared for me to ride. See, if you hadn't rode that mule, you see, I mean, God wants revival to break out. God is looking for you to do what He wants you to do. God wants you to partake, you see, of what's been offered to you here tonight. See, here's a man, great man, a man named David, great man. You heard me say it before. There's another fellow, there's several other fellows here. I mean, but you know, but out of all these different problems that David run up on, David come up with a solution. He said, I'll just let him ride my mule. And you see, if you'd have rode the king's mule, that'll kill you for that. And see, not only is he simple to look at, but he's more sure-footed than a horse is. I didn't know that, all that. I didn't know that. I'm not an authority on mules. But, I mean, there's some things about mules, you see, that'll help us, you see. It'll help us badness, you see. I went to the grocery store here the other week. And a friend of mine went out in front of me. And he was all dressed up. And this lady spoke to him. And I was next. And I said, do you know that man? He said, yeah. So he's a Baptist preacher. Well, I had on an old ball cap and an old knit shirt and a pair of old knockabout breeches. And I said, well, how do you tell us whether or not he's a Baptist preacher or not? He said, the way he dressed. I said, can you tell that about me? She said, no. I said, well, ma'am, I want you to know I'm a saved Baptist preacher. And it's not what we look at somebody. It's what he's looking at us. And there's some things that God wants some of us to do, you see. I've done most of mine. I used to hate them stinking makeup tapes. When I took one and then I didn't do right, I didn't make a good grade on it. And this dear teacher, she'd say, well, Donald, that's my name, Donald, said, you're going to have to take a makeup test. And them makeup tests are always worse, they're harder than the first test. And you see, God is the same way. God's telling these people here, all through here, he's telling you. I guarantee you that probably not a half a dozen people in this tent here tonight that's ever read the Book of Kings. Hell, amen, brother, amen, amen. I mean, if you hadn't read the book, how do you know what's in the book? If you want revival, how's the revival going to start? It's going to start with the Word of God, the one that wrote the book. I'm glad that I don't have no problem with what's in this book right here. I mean, when it starts off in Genesis, I don't have no problem with how it started off. I believe it started off just like God wanted it to start off. And guess what? When it says amen in the book of Revelation, I believe all of that in between too. All of it. You see, but you've got people today, you've got Baptists today that say that they're Baptists. They don't even believe the Word of God. You see, you've got a lot of people today that believe you can be saved and then be lost. And Baptists don't believe that. No, ma'am, they don't believe that, huh? No, when God saved you, He saved you eternally. Let me give you something else, too. Boy, I'd like to have a fit. When God showed me that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Not just part of it. All sin. And see, God has got, He's got a mule for us all to climb. I don't know what kind of mule God's going to put you on. But if God sets you to get on that mule, you better get on that mule. And you better obey God. You better mind God, not mind yourself, you see. See, that's our problem. There's that. Well, I'm having a problem with the word. You help me out. It's when you're looking at yourself all the time. Nick, not what is it? Narcissism. That's what I was looking for.
Big word like mayonnaise.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something, brother. You'd be surprised at how many narcissistic is, how much narcissism it is going on there. Self-centered, say that man over there, what was that guy's name that I just said something about? I'll find it up there. The man that David's son.
Solomon.
No, not Solomon, the other one.
Adonijah.
See, he had a bad case of narcissism. And what it is, see, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I've got a grandson, and he's eat up with it. I don't care what kind of subject you come up with. He knows more about it than anybody else does. Except the Word of God. When I get him on that, yes, I get him on that. When he gets on that one, you know, if it's pain, he knows more about pain. Carpentry, he knows more about carpentry. He knows how to build. But I don't know what's wrong with him. I know what's wrong with him. He just needs to get saved. But see, narcissist. How you pronounce that word?
Narcissist.
Yeah. It'll come out after a while. Narcissist. I mean, boy, that's just a mouthful right there. And you know, these people here, this man here, David didn't want him to ride the same mule that David rode. He didn't want him to ride his mule. But he wanted this other man, Solomon, to ride my mule, you see. Now, let me hurry along. Anyway, we see that they're more sure-footed, and then they are satisfied easily. Did you know you can feed an old mule, and he'll eat about anything. And you know what's wrong with some of us Baptists? You can feed some of them just about anything. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Getting awful quiet in here. And what's happening, you see, is I believe that there's some people here tonight that God's fixing to put on a mule. And you better learn you better study about them mules. Because when you get on that mule, you better have a good hope. Because that mule's going, he'll take you some places. He'll take you some places where you don't need to go, or you don't want to go. You don't think that you need to go. But God says, I want you to go this way. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. But we don't want to do that. We don't want to do what God says for us to do. We all through this Bible, it tells us that what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. And you know, we want to argue with God and tell God. We want to dictate to God rather than listen to God's dictation to us, you see. God knows what he's doing. He's running things. Anyway, he's more sure-footed, and he's easily satisfied. And it goes on. He won't move if he don't have to. And let me give you this, and I'm going to quit. I'm not through, I'm just going to quit. But did you know that mules are more sensitive to danger than horses are? In other words, when danger lurks right around close by, you can't tell, it might be an old snake around there. You know, snake typifies Satan. You can't, and he's lurking around. Oh, he's around here. See, he tried to make me quit preaching up there a while ago. I'm gonna preach just to aggravate the devil. Yeah. Yes, sir. I mean, I'm having the time of my life. I'm enjoying it. I'm in my last days. You think I'm not going to enjoy myself? I sure am. Amen. Yes, I am. I'm not hurting. I'm not. Do I look like I'm hurting? No, I'm not hurting. I'm in good shape. I mean, you'd be surprised how good a shape that I really am, you see. Now, a whole lot of things I can't do, but I used to do. Oh, I used to squat down and catch that baseball. I loved it. I used to bear hunt with Billy Kelly. But I can't. For somebody asked me about bear hunting, and I ain't bear hunted in years. Can't. There's some things I can't do. But God knows what I can do, and God knows what I cannot do. And also, God knows what you can do, and God knows what you cannot do. And he knows what kind of mule he's going to put you on. Now, I don't know what kind of mule God's going to put you on, but I appreciate you being sort of sympathetic when a while ago when I was struggling. You'd be surprised what when you get old, what you get by with. Yeah, you'd be surprised now. I don't know what God's plans are for you, but God does know, and this book right here will tell you what God wants you to know. And just, you know, it ain't no use going to ask the preacher. It's all right to ask the preacher, but it's better to ask the author of the book. You'd be surprised what God will do for you if you'll just obey it. That's all God wants you to do. If I'd have quit up a while ago when I was struggling and I couldn't see some of them words, and I couldn't find words. There's been words that I ain't been able to pronounce all my life. Would you listen to me this minute? They had the audacity, ever what that means, to ask me to come teach in a Bible college. What'd you do? I went and taught in a Bible college. I went over there and demonstrated the homiletical aptitude I accumulated. Well, I participated in the curriculum of a learning institute. I had myself a tie. I had 30-35. I had some fellas that had been preaching for years, and they were my students. I had me a tie. Of course, they put this one book that come by, and I told them, I said, I can't preach that. I can't teach that. And they said, well, what's wrong with it? And I said, well, it's anti-King James. And I said, but I'll tell you what I will do. And they said, what's that? I said, I'll teach it critically. They said, well, that'd be all right. What did I do? I got up there and taught it critically. I held up that book. That I said, I do not agree with this book. Not this book here, but the book that I had then. And you'd be surprised. And all the little students, you see, I pointed out some things in the word about the Word of God that they really didn't know. Now, folks, I appreciate you being sympathetic with me, but I'm not quite as dumb as I'm acting like I am. I don't think. I hope I'm not. I hope I'm not quite that dumb. But if I'm that dumb, God wants me to be dumb and ride that mule that he wants me to ride. Put her out here. I'm ready to go. Amen to God. I'm having the time of my life. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. I ain't through, I'm just quitting. I wonder if there'll be one here tonight. Preacher, God sent that message to me tonight. I don't want nobody to be looking. I don't want nobody to be moving around, please. If you're here, would you raise your hand toward heaven? Preacher, I'm the one that God sent that message to. Would you raise your hand? I'm not coming to you. I'm not going to embarrass you in no way. But I would love to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up right quick? Would you slip your hand up right quick? Would you? Would you mind him? Would you obey him? Father, in Jesus' name, take these remarks. May they find lodging place in the heart and life of those which has been intended for. And Father, some way, somehow, may you get glory. May you get honor. May you get praise to your blessed name. Do that that only you have the power to do. And give us grace, God, to do that for you and for your glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.